All right. Thank you, Miss Bonnie. All right. If you guys want to make your way back to your seats, and we'll get started this morning. I'll give you just a moment. Find your seat. Well, welcome to Victory Bible Class. Thank you for being here. Who can tell me there's something different this morning? Can anybody tell me what's different? I didn't hear that. I'm sorry. It's hot. Is that what I heard? We can do something else. We can do something about that. What else? There's something different, though. Something different about the room, not the temperature. Yes. The podium is forward, and we're not screeching. So how about that? Pretty cool, huh? I felt like I was 10 miles away from you guys back when we had it back here. So we'll see how this goes. But I think so far so good. John Potter found a setting on the board back there that somebody had turned way up, and they believe that's what caused it. So I'll be right up here close where I can keep an eye on everybody now. How's that? All right. Well, we've got Dr. Stevens for a couple of more today and next week. Is that right?
Happy whether you like it or not.
I know. I wasn't going to say that, but.
The 22nd, last Sunday, I will be here next week, which is the first.
A teaching the class? Yeah. As a teacher, okay.
I will be here the not the following week, but then after that, I'm here the 15th weekend. And I'm here the 22nd weekend, so.
Yeah. Okay, all right. So you guys heard that. Yeah. So I've been thinking, man, how can I get Dr. Stevens before he leaves? You know, I mean, I don't have a lot of more time here, and you know, last week we did the apple, and that worked out pretty well. You know, some kids found out about that, and one of them said, did Dr. Stevens steal an iPhone? I said, no. This was not quite the same. Not quite the same. But
I'm glad you straightened that out.
Yeah, and he's enjoyed so much us going back into his past history. I know that's. I
know. When you gave me the apple.
Garden of Eden. Yeah.
But remember this: it wasn't the apple on the tree; it was the pear on the ground that got us in trouble.
It was. Yes, it was. It sure was. And so I don't know about the rest of the class here, but I have thoroughly enjoyed our study through Genesis. And when we started Genesis 1, verse 1, several months ago, and we've worked our way up to now we're at Jacob and Esau. And I was thinking, if you remember last week's lesson, how did Jacob know it's been at least 21 years, and probably a little longer than that, how did Jacob know that Esau was going to be hostile towards him? You remember the story? Jacob is very scared the night before he's to meet Esau. He divides his family up so that if one group gets wiped out, at least there will be somebody left. Jacob is scared, and he's up all night. He's wrestling with the Lord. And I mean, all kinds of stuff going on. How did he know? And I did some research this week, and I read, this is painful to do, but you've got computer tools and now that help you do this. And I read some of that story in the original Hebrew, and it really helped me piece together. And I found out how Jacob knew that Esau was hostile towards him. And what it is Esau had unfriended Jacob on Facebook, and he knew he was in trouble. He knew he was in trouble. Now, but I have thoroughly enjoyed our study of Genesis, the book of beginnings, the foundation for so much of what we believe. So thank you so much for our series in Genesis. I thought I knew it all, and I found out I didn't. And I've learned a lot, and I thank you for that. Isn't that amazing how the Bible is a book that you can read over and over, and if you read it diligently, now there's a key word, diligently, And not just read, but study and meditate. There's all kinds of things to learn. Things we thought we knew. Man, there's been so many times I thought I knew it all, and I'd read in there and become very diligent in study, and I find out I don't know as much as I think I did. What an amazing book. Is it a part of our daily lives? That's the question. Remember, if we get in the Word gets in us. And that's how we change and become more like the Lord, as the Word gets in us. So make sure it's a part of your daily life. We went through, I think we went through all the February birthdays and anniversaries. I don't think we missed any except No, those are from March. So I don't believe we had any February birthdays or anniversaries we missed, unless somebody wants to raise their hand and confess. I don't see any hands, so we'll call it even. All right, well, let's pray, and we'll get right into the Word this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the beautiful day that you gave us. Thank you for this place we can meet together. We thank you for Dr. Stevens' ministry to us in this class, and his time is winding down, but we've had a wonderful time going through the book of Genesis. And thank you for all the teachings that we've been able to receive, the way we've gotten to know each other. And I just thank you for his ministry, for his time with us. And thank you for this class. This class means a lot to me. I've been a member of this class since back in the, in one form or another, since back in the 90s. And so I've been in here for a long time, and these people mean a lot to me. And I come in here on Sunday mornings. Sometimes I can maybe be discouraged, or maybe just have my focus somewhere where it's not supposed to be. And I get around my brothers and my sisters in Christ, this class right here, and I can have my spirits lifted. I can have my focus realigned. We can meet together. We can open up the Word of God. We can read it. We can study it, and we can learn from it. And I thank you that we have this time. And I pray that this time will be profitable to us, that we will have open ears, minds, hearts, and souls to receive what you have for us. Bless Dr. Stevens as he opens the Word. Guide his thoughts. Guide his mind. And as we've said many times, he could stand here and do this all by himself and do a fantastic job. But if you work through him, if you feel him, if you control him during this time, it's going to be so much better. So we look forward to what we have for today. Again, bless our class. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
My hearing aids are not working good, so say it louder.
Louder?
Yeah.
David Rush is going to have surgery on Wednesday. Remember that.
David, write it down for me and hand me a piece of paper, and I'll make sure people. I'm leaving Monday. Won't be back till Thursday, but I'll have Daniel. Okay. Like I say, I'm not hearing everybody today. Not intentionally. Yeah. All right. Because you spend a lot of money for hearing aids and then they act up. How many of you wear hearing aids? How many of you need to wear hearing aids? How many of you, through your pride, won't admit you need to wear hearing aids? Yeah. Okay, well, just pray for the Keelings. We had them scheduled on the 22nd here, but they banded to travel on the island. Ponape, the Micronesian Islands, they're stopping all flights on the island, so pray for them and that they'll be able. As a matter of fact, what we're concerned about, obviously, is that virus gets over there on the island and then we can't get them off. And that's a big concern, and they're dying by the hundreds everywhere, so we need to pray. I think China's covering up a lot of what's happening over there. It's now in South Korea. And it's in the United States and other places. Italy has a severe case of it right now, and they cannot seem to find a cure. So we really need to pray that God's got the cure. But you know, I keep thinking, as I looked at the plagues in the Old Testament, sometimes God does it. He allows it for reasons, and we just need to accept it and thank the Lord for it. I'm going to do something different today and next week and the few weeks that I'm here left. I think I'll be teaching at least four more, this and three more Sundays here. I'm going to be here on the 1st, which is next Sunday. And then I'm not here for the following week. I'm not here. Pastor, that's a good day for Pastor Herdman. You welcome him. And then I won't be there that. Then I'll be here on the 15th and the 22nd. And that will be then my demise. And so, although I'll be back for several reasons. I don't see Larry Stover. Is Larry here? Stover? Not here? That's one reason why I have to come back all the time, make sure he's okay. All right. Yeah. What? Fortunately, I can't hear today. I want to talk about the Holy Spirit. There are 10 ministries of the Holy Spirit. And we make so little of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and yet the human spirit fails unless the Holy Spirit fails. We want to talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit today, and maybe even into it next week. And let's just begin this. And the first ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, I'm talking about in the life of the believer, the first one is regeneration. Regeneration, the need to be born again. So I want you to turn to some references and turn with me to the book of John. And I want you to turn there to chapter 3. What's a tremendous truth here in John's Gospel, chapter 3, concerning regeneration. Now, regeneration means be born again. And I come over there to John 3 in those first 7 verses when he talks to Nicodemus. By the way, Nicodemus, as far as I know, is the only Pharisee in the Scripture that got saved. I don't find any other. These were hard-hearted people. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Except, verily, verily, except a man be born again. That word born again is the word we get the word regeneration. Regeneration. And he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And he was thought he was referring to the physical birth. It is not the physical birth, but it's the spiritual birth he is talking to. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Now, there's a real controversy about those verses when he says born of water and born of water and of the Spirit. I'm convinced that the word water here, you know, if they took all the water out of your body, you would probably be this big. You made up, in other words, you're all wet. We're made up mainly of water, and I believe that's referring to the physical birth, and then some people think that's baptism. That's not baptism. Not baptism. And the Bible's very clean on that. If it was baptism, he would have said baptism. But I believe he's, and how do I look here, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, that's the second birth, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Then he goes on to explain in verse 6 that which is born of the flesh is the flesh. You have a physical birth, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's your spiritual birth. You have twice born, you die once. Amen? Born once, you die twice. And so we have here. And so you have regeneration. Another reference is Titus 3:5. So turn there with me to Titus 3:5 and look there with me. And this is also, and I'm going to have to turn to several verses here to see this thought here. Look at verse Titus 3:5. Look there. Not by works of righteousness which ye have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us by the washing of regeneration. And that word washing, unless you're from Ohio, then it's washing. That speaks there of the water that is needed of the whole Word of God. Now, in Scripture, water is significant. A picture of, first of all, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Out of your belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. So he's talking about that. So the very first thing you have is regeneration. There's a second one is baptism. Now, if I have time next week, I want to spend some time talking about baptism. Do you know that there are 7 baptisms in the Bible? 7 different kinds of baptism. Now, they all deal with immersion, but there are 7 of them. Do you know the earth's been baptized in water in the Old Testament? Israel going through the Red Sea was baptized. We're going to see 7 different baptisms. But this is spirit baptism. This is spirit baptism. And I want you to turn, if you will, please. So the first baptism, it is the regeneration, which is the process of the new birth, whereby the Holy Spirit of God brings life to us who are dead in trespasses and sins. Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Turn there, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm having you all over the Bible today, and that's just the way it's got to be if you're going to see these. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and look there in verse 12 and 13. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are as one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit, now notice that's a capital S. He's not referring to the human spirit, he's referring to the Holy Spirit. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into the body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether be bond or free, which have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So here's referring to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, obviously, today we have a lot of confusion about that. I remember just before I got saved, I went to a tent revival meeting, and it was a charismatic. I didn't know anything about anything, really. I wasn't saved, didn't know anything about the Bible. And I remember it well because a fellow kept going up down the aisle, and they came to me and said, "Have you been baptized with the Spirit?" He wasn't even concerned whether I was saved or not. And he did not refer to this baptism. He was referring to speaking in tongues. And I got news for you, folks. He should have been more concerned about my soul than whether or not I speak in tongues. But he would not even worry concerned about that. Well, obviously, we're going to deal with that later on. Those are spiritual gifts. Some of them are for today. Some of them are in the past. But he deals here with baptism. Now, whereas regeneration is the process by which we are born again and you have life. I'm told, one of my professors told me one time that there are 32 things that happen to you when you get saved. So that's why we call it a process. Now, it doesn't mean a process that takes time. It just it all happens at one time. I mean, you become a child of God. All kinds of things happen to you, and the moment you get saved, that's what we mean by process. It doesn't mean it takes time. As a matter of fact, you get born again, it takes just my clicker's not working. It takes just like that. Understand that? It doesn't have to do anything yourself. Now, then we see the placement. Now, the baptism places us into the body of Christ, whereas regeneration is the process whereby we get life. Baptism is the procedure whereby we are brought into the very body of Christ. And so we're part of the body of Christ. We're part of the body of Christ. Now, the Bible talks about the church as the body. Now, I hear people all the time will say, "Well, you know, I belong to the invisible church." That's why we don't see them on Sundays. They don't sing in the choir, they don't tithe, they don't do anything because they belong to this invisible. That church has never met. We'll meet in that church one day. That church has never met. The local church is where we meet. Amen? The local church is, of the 110 times you find the word church in the Bible, over 90 of them refer to the local church. But we are not placed in the local church through baptism, but we're placed into the body of Christ through baptism. And you didn't know that when you got saved. I didn't know that. Maybe you knew that. I didn't know that. But I was baptized and I was regenerated. Those are just two things that took place when you get saved. Now, go there to 1 Corinthians 6. You're in it. So the third one, so regeneration, that's the process. I believe over 30 things happen to you at that moment when you get saved. Baptism, placing you into the body of Christ. And then indwelling, that's the presence of the Holy Spirit. He indwells you. Look at 1 Corinthians 6. Turn there with me, 1 Corinthians 6. And that's a wonderful truth. Look there, if you will, at verse 19 and verse 20. What? Know you not that your body is what? the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is where? In you, which you have of God, and you are not of your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, keep in mind as we look at this here, there's a big difference. Now, this is for the church age. In the Old Testament, for example, if you turn in your Bibles to where I can't remember, so we'll just turn there and try to find it. Let's go over to 1 Samuel somewhere. Everybody find 1 Samuel somewhere. Okay? First few chapters is where I want you to go. Okay. Stay with me. Sorry I didn't write it down. I'll be with you in a minute. Don't leave. Try chapter 1 Samuel 16. Look over there, 1 Samuel 16 and verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, that's David, in the midst of the brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose and he went to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Okay? That does not happen today. Okay? That's Old Testament. The Holy Spirit would come on people and then he would withdraw himself from people. That's not something that happens today. You are indwelt by the Spirit of God. No matter if you're truly saved, he comes in and he doesn't leave you. He doesn't leave you. Praise the Lord for that, because that means he brings conviction. He brings comfort to us. He guides us on how to live the life we need to live. So he's there permanently. He's there. And now you can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can quench the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you're not careful. But he's not going to leave. He's not going to leave. So we have regeneration, the process of the new birth. Baptism, which is placing you in the body, indwelling, which is the presence of the Holy Spirit. One thing we should do every day is get a sense of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Get a sense that he's there and real. And you need to do that. Though the outward man perish, the inward man is what? Renewed how often? Day by day. And that's letting the Spirit of God take over your life daily. Daily. If you don't, you're in real trouble. All right. Now, let's go to the next one. So you've got here, you've got the regeneration, baptism, and you have the sealing of the Holy Spirit. Now, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Now, whereas regeneration is the process, baptism is placement, indwelling is the presence, sealing is protection. The Holy Spirit protects you. You will never, I'm going to make sure you understand this today, it's impossible for you to lose your salvation. You can't do it. Now, by the way, a true born-again Christian doesn't want to lose it. I've never heard of a Christian said, I wish I wasn't born again. I wish I wasn't saved. I wish I wasn't in the family of God. I regret that I'm in the family of God. A person says that and means that, he's not saved. Because the Spirit of God's, he seals you. And you go to chapter 1 here, the book of Ephesians, and turn there with me. You see that so clearly there. Verse 13, in whom ye also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom after you believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now the Holy Spirit, I want to say that reverently, the Holy Spirit is our down payment. When you bought a house, normally you put down what? down payment. The Holy Spirit is the protection to make sure that the transaction is carried out. He is there to make sure, well, what is that transaction? That we go to heaven, be with the Lord. How many of you today are completely saved? Let me see your hands. Put those hands down right now. Put them down. You're not completely saved. Tim, I like you, but your body's not saved. Is it saved? My body's not. If my body was saved, I wouldn't have this kind of body. Hearing aid problem, eye problem, you name it, we got it. We're going to get a new body. And my spirit's been saved, hallelujah, soul's been saved, but my body's till we are sealed. Look here, let's go down a little further here. We are sealed here. Look at verse 14. Who is the earnest, that's the down payment of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession and to the praise of his glory. You know what he's referring to? The body. The body. You say, well, the body's going to go to the grave. I know that, but the Spirit of God has sealed that body. Now, I'm going to make some statements here. If you get mad at me, I only got 3 more weeks. I've been asked this question a little while ago, and I want to say it. Skip. I do not believe, if you get mad at me, Christians ought to get cremated. Okay? Now, three reasons. Number one, cremation is a heathen practice of the Old Testament. That's what it was. Two, the body is not your body to destroy. It's God's body. If he'll put it back to dust and everything he desires to do. But that's not our business to do that. And we need to. I'm not getting much reaction here. Some of you are probably mad at me already. How many are going to stay for church? All right. It was always a heathen custom because Christian's body is very, very sacred in the eyes of God. It's called what? The temple. The temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you've done that, it's okay for you, between you and God. But I'm telling you a biblical principle here. And somebody will say, well, it's cheaper. What's that got to do with Bible truth? Amen. So that's what I'm trying to share with you today. So when you make that decision, you say, well, the Bible's going to disintegrate, the body's going to disintegrate anyway. But that's God's business to do that by natural means by which he does. And we should not be people who rush that on. Amen. Okay? Every time I commit a body to the grave, I do so looking to the resurrection, which could take place while I'm making that prayer. Amen. So we should be careful that we look at biblical principles. And now Marilyn, she's just going to bear me in the back 40, the back there. And right, honey? It may be right after the service today. We have 2 acres. We talk about the back acre being the back 40. She'll bury me there. But we need to understand that's a Bible principle. There's nothing in the Bible that says you can't cremate. I mean, there's no verse. How many believe in the Trinity? You can't find a verse that says the Trinity. How many believe in the millennium? Can't find a verse that says the millennium either, okay? I'm just trying to give you thinking, practice, procedures here that God has planned that we need to be very, very careful how we handle them because you are sealed. Your body, because I know, how do I know he's talking? Because of that verse 14, the redemption of the body. The body has been purchased at Calvary. Do you know that? So God says, be careful what you do. And by the way, that's why we need to be careful what we put into it. I've often thought how few messages we preach on gluttony. Or chocolate. Seriously, our bodies... My wife reminds me constantly, which is okay, she loves me, what I should eat and what I should not eat. Matter of fact, she's gotten to the place where if it tastes good, spit it out. probably not good for you, but that's okay too, because she's concerned not just for my health. This body doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to you, your body. And we need to keep that concept in mind for the glory of God and take care of. You know, we're people interesting. You know, I hope you are against drinking, social drinking, against smoking. We don't preach against gluttony. Okay? And I'm not going to go to any church where they preach against chocolate either. No, seriously. We need to be careful what we do, because these are sealed and they're promised. One day that body will be in the presence of God, and our body will be like Jesus' body. That'd be great, you know. I'm looking forward to having a full head of hair, no hearing aids, you know, no glasses, you know. Be great, won't it? Huh? To look around here, you all need to say amen. Because you got the same problems. And we need to have a sense of the truth of God's word here. So keep in mind that sealing. Then, so now get this. Regeneration, are you ready? One-time act. Baptism, one-time act. There are not two. There's only one baptism. Indwelling, only one time. Sealing, only one time. Now the next one is the filling of the Spirit of God. That's the only one that's continuous. It's the only one that is a repeated act. And I want you to make sure you have a concept of that. And that word feeling here deals with the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power. Sealing was the protection. This body's protected by Him. The filling is the power of the Holy Spirit. Turn with me to Ephesians. Go to chapter 5, if you will, please. And look there, beginning here in verse 18. It's a very interesting thought here. The first time I read this, I said, this doesn't make sense to me. But it makes a lot of sense. And be not drunk with wine, which is excess, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. Now, the word, it's interesting. I was raised in a drunkard's home. My daddy drank heavily, left us when I was two. He'd come back now and then. Then my first stepfather, drunkard. My second stepfather drank heavily. Mom drank heavily. We never had a Christmas where people didn't pass out from drinking in our home. Now, what happens when a person drinks? What happens? Can he walk straight? What happens? Everything is different when a person is drunk than what he normally is. Now, it's an illustration of contrast. When you're drunk with the Holy, when you're drunk with the wine, or when you're drunk, you're not acting normal, according to standards. When you're filled with the Spirit, you're not normal either. I want you to get that. You're not the normal Christian. You are above that. You're in the power of the Holy Spirit. He'll have you do things that will not make sense normally. That's key. Look what he says here. And by the way, it's interesting here, as we move on down, spending most of my time on this, but we'll be with this subject next week. Look there. Speak and be not drunk with wine excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And then the rest of this chapter is what the filling of the Spirit of God will do. What happens when a person is filled with the Spirit of God? What happens when that takes place? Well, number one, look there in verse, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. There's a song that takes place in your heart. You've got the joy of the Lord. Yeah, but you don't know what I'm going through. That has nothing to do with the filling of the Spirit. When you're going through, when you're filled with the Spirit of God, He takes over and He gives you the joy in spite of what's going on. Now, singing and making melody in your heart. I got Larry back there. Larry said we could destroy a church if he did the preaching and I did the singing. I can't sing. But I got news for you. In my heart and in my being, there is a song. There is a song that's being sung. Not necessary words that you would have. It's the Spirit of God giving me the joy of the Lord. Now, there's some people down through the years, pastored going on 51 years from now, if I saw them coming, I would be sure not to talk to them till I was through preaching, because if they'd stop me and I'd ask them how they were doing, I didn't have time. And they were loaded down with all the tragedies and problems of the world. Listen, you're not. Marilyn and I were talking on the way here. We're concerned about this coronavirus. But I got news for you. We're not going to die ever. We're going to live on. I'm concerned for others who don't know the Lord. We need to put that emphasis there. I'm concerned about my grandchildren overseas. And I'm concerned. My son's a pilot and he flies to all kinds of strange places all over the world. But you know what? When he goes out into eternity, you and I as Christians, we know where we're going. That's to the joy of the Lord. Because most of the human race doesn't know the answer to that question, where you're going to spend eternity. Something else here. Then he comes down to the marriage. From verses 23 to the end of verse 33, he deals with marriage. A Spirit-filled marriage. Notice here, submitting yourselves. No, firstly, before he does that, just want to submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. In other words, yielding to one another, giving that person his rights above your rights. You're filled with the Spirit, you say you first. Then he deals with marriage. Wives, and men love this one. Wives, what? Let's read the text. Look there. Now, so if your Spirit-filled married life, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Are you ready for the next ones? What are the husbands to do? For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and is the Savior of the body. Therefore, the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. Husbands, love your wives. Are you ready for this? Ladies, you're going to like this, girls. Nowhere in Scripture does it command you to love your husband. Boy, I'm glad to know that one. Men are responsible for loving their spouse, and you then will respond to the love. We need to get that order right. You're not to be a dictator. You're to be a sweet-tater. Love your spouse. Love your wife. And then when you show that love, they respond. But that's only, you say, but she don't know what he's like. The Spirit of God is more interested, are you ready for this, in changing you than he is changing him in your life. Only God can change him, but he wants us to change you first. Yeah, but I'll change if she changes. No, guys, get the order here. If not, I'm going to hit you with this chair. Get the proper order here. And when you love your spouse, I like the fellow said to me one time, I said, well, you love your wife? I told her once. Well, how many years ago? It was 30 years ago when we got married. Be good if you told them daily, I love you. And they respond to that. They respond to that love that you have for. Anybody have to make a comment on this? Chickens, fearful men, be afraid. But we need to follow the Bible principle that God has for us. My responsibility is to love Marilyn and take good care of her. And she responds to that. The only time she's never responded to that was the time she threw a whole glass of iced tea on me. But I deserved it, didn't I, honey? When I aggravated, we were expecting our first child. And I was going like this. She said, honey, don't do that anymore. I kept it up through that glass. How many of you ever did a stupid thing like that? Anybody? Yeah? All right. I get my point here. The point's not the iced tea. Women are responders, but if we're filled with the Spirit of God, we love our spouse, and our spouse then becomes submissive. Wives, you learn to be submissive no matter what. Husbands, you love your wife. I mean, now love is not words. Love is work. Showing that you love them. Aren't you glad God loved you? How do you know He loved you? He responded. He sent His Son to die for your sins. It was work. Jesus came to earth. That was work, and He died for your sins. He might say, that's work. You want to have a successful marriage? One word, work at it. Work. Work. Makes a difference. And God will just turn things around in your life. And I love my wife more today than I did going on 51 years ago. Thank the Lord for her. What else did you want me to say, honey? I can't remember. All right. So here you have, and then he comes down here to chapter 6 to say, he still continues with the subject of being filled with the Spirit. You need to constantly work with your children about the power of being filled with the Spirit of God. You know, teenagers are interesting, aren't they? How many have raised teenagers? Yeah. They're moody. They're interesting. But we need to train them with Bible principles from the Word of God and show them. It deals with that. It deals with your job. I never forget when I worked for Orbach's department, because now he deals with servants, obey your master. When I had a job, they were the master, I was the servant. I'll never forget when they came and he said, would you be interested in making your career at Orbach's? I said, well, no, I'm studying for the ministry. He said, well, you put so much into your job here. I'm supposed to. I'm supposed to. The Spirit of God tells me to do that. And we need to see. So all through this chapter, he's telling in chapter 5 and chapter 6, he's telling you how to be filled with the Spirit of God. And then if you go down here further, he talks about the spiritual battle. Your spirit, you cannot win the spiritual battle unless you're filled with the Spirit of God. He talks about the spiritual battle we have with the devil. All right, well, time's up. We're going to continue next week dealing with these. So we got only 5 of them down. We got 5 more to go. And next week we'll do this. But I might say a few more things about being filled with the Spirit next week as well. You're dismissed. God bless you.